Hello and welcome from Belfast. I'm Anthony Banwell, and in this podcast we'll be looking back at the 2006 European Championships that took place at the city's Waterfront Hall on Friday the 28th and Saturday the 29th of April. With me as always is 4 Bars Rest editor Ewan Fox, and we'll also have comments from 4 Bars Rest contributors Malcolm Wood and John James. The winners, as you probably already know, were brass band Villebrook from Belgium. And let's start by listening to an extract from their winning performance of the set test piece Seascape with High Cliffs by Ian Wilson. Part of brass band Villebrook's winning performance of the set test piece Seascape with High Cliffs by Ian Wilson there. Ewan Fox, we're used to surprise results at recent contests. How much of a surprise was this weekend's result?
Well, it certainly came as a bit of a shock. The audience reaction, I think, when Black Dyke were announced as fourth place, set the ball rolling for that. However, we shouldn't be surprised that it was Villebrook that in the end became the European champions in 2006. Their record over the last 4 years of this contest includes 2 runners-up, 3rd and a 4th. And without doubt, they're a very, very classy band, one of the best bands in Europe. So when they were announced as winners, yes, there were many people who drew gasps that they had won, but they are deserving champions.
Ewan, you spoke to the band's soprano player, Bert van Tienen. How did they judge their own performances this weekend?
But Bert gave a very honest answer to us when I spoke to him. He did feel that they may have left their best performance of the own choice piece, Journey to the Centre of Earth, back in the band room, so to speak. But he also did say that they felt that they put in 2 very strong performances which were worthy of them taking the title.
Bert van Tienen is the star soprano player with brass band Villebrook, the 2006 European champions. Bert, congratulations. You've waited a long time for this.
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. The last years, we played 2nd, 3rd, 4th place, 93. We had lucky and we played the 1st. But now, finally, we are the European champions.
Did you think you played well over the 2 days, or did you think you had a stronger performance on the test piece?
I think we played well, but maybe we can perform both pieces better. The preparation was good, but it was on stage. We didn't have a very good feeling.
You played Journey to the Centre of the Earth as your own choice piece. Did you think that was a good piece to pick, given that all the English and the Welsh bands had played it at the regional championships in Britain this year?
Yes, I think so, because it's the conductor, Frans Violet, who chose it, and it's his decision, whatever he would like to play with the band. He knows his musicians the best, and he's the master of sound and musicality, and I think when he loves a piece, he makes something beautiful of it. And it can be played 20 or 30 or 40 times, but he will make something very special of it.
And what do you think this means now, or will this give a huge boost to band in Belgium?
We hope so, because we have recognition in Belgium, but we don't have any big sponsors also the government. This year they have decided to not donate some money to Grasmont Wilbrook, so the players, they have to pay for their travel expenses. They take off at work, they take off at school to rehearse, to come to the Europeans, and they pay everything by themselves. Maybe this can change a little bit, and our government will think otherwise.
Ewan, we heard Bert van Tienen's thoughts on their performances. What did you think of Willebroek's performances this weekend?
Well, we didn't certainly have them as overall winners. In fact, we thought they would come roughly about sixth place. We had them fifth on the set work and eighth on their own choice selection. However, there were a lot of people in the audience who really enjoyed their set work interpretation. Franz Violet made it very, very elegant, very broad and lyrical performance. Not error-free, but there were a lot of people in the audience who certainly disagreed with us, and, of course, the three men in the box, and they're the people who count. With regards to their own choice work, however, Journey to the Centre of the Earth, it wasn't a really thrilling performance of a work that they could really play in their sleep. There were too many individual errors, especially from some of their star players who we've come accustomed to being almost impeccable in their performances. So really, we didn't think that they had featured and had possibly lost their chance of taking the title. But as we said, we've been proved wrong.
Now, if Willebroek were a surprise for many as eventual winners, what about the second place band, Brass Band Fribourg?
Well, that was like a jolt out of the blue, really. I think there couldn't have been very many people in the hall, even their own supporters, who would put them up as high as second place on both the set work and the own choice. We had them as low as 10th on the set work, which we thought was a very cold and emotionless performance, but it was something that certainly appealed in the box. And we had them 7th on their own choice selection, Music of the Spheres, which started a little hesitantly but really was good playing after that. But it wasn't two performances that stuck in the memory banks for us. So when they were announced as runners-up, they were fantastically delighted and brought the house down with their cheering. But for us, we had them outside the top six overall, so that really was a surprise.
Now, in third place were the Welsh band By As You View, winners for us this weekend, but not so for the judges.
Winners for us over the weekend, but what we have to say is that we had themselves, Black Dyke and Ike Anger, and we couldn't really put a hair's breadth of difference between them. All three for us gave absolutely stunning performances over the 2 days. By As You View, if they had one more point, they would have been victorious, but then again, if Fribourg had had one more point, they would have been crowned European champions. With By As You View, we felt their set work was exceptional, detailed, layered, balanced, and was a clear leader for us. But in the box, they felt it only deserved third place. On the other hand, in the box, they felt that their own choice selection, Kenneth Downey's The Promised Land, was the outstanding own choice selection of the contest. We possibly had it in third place. It was as Welsh as a pack of Welsh rugby players eating leeks. It was based on Cwm Rhondda and Myfanwy. It was a brilliant tour de force. Rather unlike Kenneth Downey works that we've heard previously, it was much like St. Magnus, that it was based on a theme and variations, but not in the usual way in which those type of pieces progress. It utilised the band's great strengths. David Charles had a great amount of work to do and was absolutely stunning. Gavin Saynor and Chris Thomas all played at the very, very highest quality, playing at the very highest quality. It could be accused as a piece of being a little bit contrived, because it was certainly Welsh and you knew it was Welsh. They could have come on and just shouted out from the rooftops, this is going to be one that's going to be played in the Welsh language. But then again, the same could be said of Music of the Spheres or Journey to the Centre of the Earth in the last couple of years. It was a tour de force performance of a tour de force piece, absolutely stunning in places, and it meant for us overall it should have really possibly given them the title. We'll be right back.
part of Bijouview's winning performance of Kenneth Downey's The Promised Land. Now in fourth place, as we've already mentioned, were Black Dyke. How did they perform in defence of the title that they won in Groningen last year?
Well, they played exceptionally well, and for us they were up there, as we said, with Bijouview and Eikanger in the mix for us to actually take the overall title. Fourth they came, and fifth and fourth they were placed in the set work and own choice. We had them second for both of their performances. It may also be, of course, their last ever appearance at the contest, because they're not at the English Nationals and they may have to rely on an invitation to get back here. The contest will be very much the poorer for not having them, but there again, they weren't the winners on this weekend. They, as I said, they defended their title very well. They were right up there after a very atmospheric and immensely quiet, beautiful performance of the set work, which was in, you know, real contrast to many of the other performances on the day. And then with Extreme Makeover, which was an absolute epic performance, and I think we made the point that it could have knocked the dangly bits off a charging rhino at one place. It was immense playing. But what I have to say is that at the end of it, I don't think they could have done much more. And so it was in the lap of the gods, or in this case, in the lap of the judges in the box. But they were brilliant.
Now, before we talk about the other bands at the contest, tell us a little bit more about the test piece, Seascape with High Cliffs.
A very enjoyable test piece, very different from the usual fare we've come accustomed to, both in Britain and at the European Championships in the last couple of years. Very quiet, a contemporary work by an excellent composer. It asks a lot of detailed questions of the bands in respect to balance, in respect to detail and texture. Not all the bands got anywhere near the piece. And also, it may not be a piece that will be used again in future, which would be a great pity. But it proved to be a very, very difficult test for all the bands here. And when I spoke to Ian Wilson, he was really looking forward to what he felt would be 10 very different performances from the competing bands, and he certainly wasn't wrong.
Ian Wilson, congratulations on your composition, which is going to be played for the first time in roughly an hour here at the Waterfront Hall in Belfast.
Thanks very much.
Seascapes with High Cliffs. What are your expectations of listening to 10 performances of it?
It's very, very strange. I have no idea what to expect other than, I suppose, 10 different performances. It's the exciting thing about having a competition like this. I'm expecting and hoping that the conductors and the players will have tried to bring something of themselves into the music. I think I've left enough space in what I've written for them to be able to put a bit of their own personalities into it. So I'm hoping that'll happen.
And the inspiration comes from a place on the west coast of Ireland of great natural beauty.
Yes, it does. The Cliffs of Moher on the west coast of Ireland, down in County Clare. I made a visit there about 10 years ago, and it stayed with me. And for this piece, I wanted to have some inspiration which would underlay the piece quite strongly. And I'm not trying to create a piece of program music or anything like that, but I wanted something grounded in my own experience. So I've tried to put different kinds of movement into the piece, which are all related to what I experienced there, from the sea and the birds and everything else, you know.
And this is your first major composition for brass band. You've got an international reputation in the orchestral world. Do you hope that you'll be writing more for brass bands in the future?
I think I'd love to. Yeah, it's been a really nice experience. And of course, I hope tonight goes well. We'll have to wait and see. But sure, if some band or other was to say, hey, we like that piece, let's have another, I'd be more than happy, because I think it's a medium which has great, if I say it has great potential, that's implying it hasn't been reached. But for me, I think it's a medium that has a lot of potential, something I feel that could really be explored. I could explore it, you know.
Composer Ian Wilson talking to Ewan Fox there. Ewan, the other bands at the contest, we've talked about the top four. Let's now talk about the fifth place band, YBS.
Lots to admire with YBS. They're very much a band or is a work in progress at the present time. David King is developing a new generation YBS, and they do still have some problems in positions around the band, which came possibly to haunt them in a couple of in their two pieces on the weekend. However, they may be disappointed at not coming back to win again at the Europeans, but we wouldn't bet against them qualifying for this contest next year at the English Nationals.
Their set work and their own choice, Eden, were very musical, broad and elegant readings from David King and the band, but they did have that fragility all the way through, and that possibly what cost them points. At times they were exceptionally good, but at other times they did have the problems which were rather too obvious.
And Leyland Band with Russell Gray.
Did themselves proud. Two workmanlike performances. We had them fourth in both sections of the contest. The judges had them sixth and fifth, and there was very little to argue against that. Their individual players were very good indeed, especially the solo corner player, Andy Lord, who was quite outstanding. Eden, their own choice, possibly just let them down because it just lacked detail and didn't quite have the superb snake trombone playing that was a feature when they won at the Nationals. But apart from that, though, they really did themselves proud as national champions of Great Britain.
And from Norway, Eikanger Bjørsvik.
There's always a contest where one band can feel hard done by, and I think Eikanger was certainly that band on the weekend. We had them as potential winners, and I think many people in the audience and the auditorium had them the same. They were very good on the set work. We had them in third place, but the judges had them in seventh. But it was their own choice that they were absolutely stunning. Riffs and interludes they chose to play. We had it as the winner of that section, and I think many people in the audience were really dumbstruck by the standard and the quality of the performance that they put on under Bjørn Sagstad. However, we understand that one of the judges just wrote six words as his judgment on that piece, and that may have resulted in one of the reasons why they were placed seventh. But for us, we've just felt it was absolutely stunning, deserving of the very, very highest praise, and therefore they can justifiably feel hard done by that they didn't feature any higher than they did in the contest. They deserve to be up there as potential winners.
Now, in eighth place were Solly Brass from the Netherlands.
Interesting performances from them, two solid shows, nothing really to state that they would really challenge any higher. Earthquake was an interesting choice as their own choice selection, which also featured some absolutely bonkers soprano playing, especially right at the end. He made Steve Stewart of the Kirk and Tillock Band look like a veritable saint. But interesting band, and one I think to look out for in the future.
And Newton Grange?
Newton Grange, they did as well as possibly they could expect it to be. They struggled a little bit on the set work. They got lost in one place, it seemed. Their own choice selection, which was Journey to the Centre of the Earth, they really tried to pull the stops out on it, and there was a lot to admire. But against the standard of performances elsewhere, it wasn't really going to make a mark.
And finally, Lyngby Tarbak from Denmark.
Lyngby Tarbak, they come to the contest year after year. They're in a very proving band. They've got some fine players around the stand, but they struggled on the set work, and their own choice selection of music, The Spheres, was out of strong. Ray Farr was on inspired form with the baton, we must say. He was very entertaining to watch this year. But the band themselves didn't really respond. I don't think they played quite to the type of form that we've been used to them in the last couple of years.
Now, there were organisational problems last year in Groningen. Were these problems met by EBBA and the Northern Ireland Band Association this year?
Very much. We have to say it was great organisation by EBBA and Northern Irish Brass Band Association this year. The city of Belfast itself gave us a fabulous welcome. Even the taxi drivers knew about the contest and what was actually going on. Popping into the city, even though it was difficult to get things to get something to eat around the hall, you had a fabulous welcome in the pubs, etc. We even met the actor Jimmy Nesbitt, although he didn't know anything about the brass band competition. But as I said, EBBA took a much more active supervisory role, we understand, and worked in conjunction with the Irish. And as a result, the organisation was excellent. Everything ran smoothly. All the fringe events were excellent. The European Youth Band, the Composers Competition, and the concerts that were given, both by local bands and the featured bands at the concert. So high praise for EBBA this time. They deserve it.
But what about the problems?
There were still some problems. One of the things which we do find which was disappointing was the audience for both sections of the main contest. The possible reason for that was a 5 p.m. start on a Friday for the set work. And even in a city which is not a fantastic huge city like Belfast, that meant that people have to possibly have an afternoon off work, etc., to get here. So possibly that may need to be addressed at a slightly later start time on the Friday, so the hall could be full. It was an 1,800-seater hall, and it was about 700-odd people in to listen to the set work, which was a little bit disappointing, especially given the quality of the bands that were on show.
Now, what about the judges' box?
Ah, yes, that was something else, wasn't it? It looked like it had been designed by Habitat in the Shaker design look about it. It certainly looked the part. Whether or not it played the part as well, maybe something only the judges could tell us. But it looked absolutely fantastic. But possibly maybe has something to do with the surprise result.
And the judges that went into that box?
I think there needs to be possibly a look at how the judges are picked. Not so much with regards to the set work, but we have to look at it again. There was one debutant judge, one judge which we understand hasn't been in the best of health, one judge which had to be moved from one section to another, and one judge who was a saxophone player. So we possibly, in respect to the own choice selections, there may be a need to ever to look at to put in three really experienced judges who know brass band repertoire, because in that way, possibly then, they will know exactly what they would need to be listened to in the wide variety of pieces that are actually being played.
Now, one of the men behind the success of these championships here in Belfast was event manager Joe Kessels.
Yes, and I managed to catch up with him between one of the 1,001 jobs that he was doing over the weekend.
Congratulations, Joe, on the weekend. You look a tired but a very satisfied man. Did you enjoy hosting the European Championships, and what does it mean for Northern Irish banding?
Well, thanks, Ewan. It's been an absolute thrill and a privilege for our organisation to host the Championships in Belfast for the first time. I've had quite a few people say to me after the event that, you know, you must do this again sometime. So we'll think about that perhaps maybe 5-6 years away.
Do you think as well that for the bands themselves in Northern Ireland and brass band lovers, this has been a real watermark moment, you know, in the development of banding here?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we have a very small but enthusiastic group of folks who are interested in the band scene here. The challenge for us now is to try and learn from the event and capitalise on it in some way.
Well, we've had a fantastic time, the welcome that we've had, and I think it's fair to say that it's been possibly one of the best organised events. You had active support from EBBA on this occasion. Do you feel that has helped the event overall?
It's important, I think, for what we would regard ourselves as a small country, hosting an event like this for the first time, to have the level of experience and guidance that we got from the EBBA folks, so yes.
And for the future then, is it going to whet your appetite to host in more events, or do you think you'll have a break and then come back to it in a couple of years' time?
Well, I haven't been able to play in my own band now for about 2 years, partly because of this. My first priority is to get back playing E-flat bass again.
Now, in the B section, the test piece was Little Christmas by Elaine Agnew. Ewan Fox caught up with Elaine, who talked about the music and the inspiration behind it.
Well, it's inspired by a storm that hit Ireland in 1839 on the 6th of January. It's a story that, as kids, we would have studied as part of Irish mythology. And it's a fantastic story, because the whole idea was that it was based around an event, whether it was actually true or not, who knows, but I just absolutely love the story. And the idea is that on the 6th of January, it was snowing, it was a typical kind of winter's day, yet temperature started to soar and it got unnaturally calm, and voices floated between farmhouses 2 and 3 miles apart. And really, during the event of that day, because it's the 6th of January, so it's the last day of Christmas, and before the Gregorian calendar came in, it was actually the official Christmas day. And then whenever the 25th of December became official Christmas Day, the 6th of January was then known as Little Christmas. And the fact as well that it was known as Nollaig na Mban, which is Irish for Women's Christmas Day. So it was a day when all the women would take the day off, put their feet up, and all the men, for a change, would actually prepare the celebration. And because it was the final day of Christmas, the whole idea was to use up all your alcohol and all your food and have a huge big blast, because this was the final day of Christmas. So this storm then came, caused complete havoc, especially around Belfast and places around County Limerick, County Cork were really badly hit. So it's a story I've always absolutely adored, and I think at some point it's going to develop into a huge all singing, all dancing opera with tons of visual. I think of it as a bit like The Wizard of Oz, you know, the bit where she's walking up the lane and there's tumbleweed all blowing about. So, yeah, so at the moment, just exploring different aspects of the story. So that's where the title and the theme came from.
The piece was very well received. It was seen as a very difficult test for the B-section bands, although the Austrian band, who were quite superb, put on an outstanding performance of it. What did you think of the brass bands in a contesting way playing your music?
Well, I think it's very bizarre to sit and to hear your piece played really four times in a row by four bands of quite differing standard. And I find it quite difficult because of my, I suppose, lack of experience with working in the brass band world, what kind of standard the piece should be at. But, I mean, as part of the process, Ebba very carefully looked through the score, and if it was too difficult or too easy, they would have asked me to rewrite it. But they were happy enough with it. But, I mean, I'm still not convinced whether it actually was too difficult, because the three of the bands all interpreted it in very different ways, and they all had particular strengths and particular weaknesses, whereas the Austrian band who played it last really just sailed through it.
And does this mean now that you will be writing more for brass bands in the future?
Yes, I'd absolutely love to. I'd love to write something where you're not restricted by, you know, any performance element, or even, the thing I find really difficult was just writing 5 minutes. That's quite hard.
Well, congratulations on the piece.
Thank
it was
you very,
very well received, and we hope, as we know, that you've enjoyed the brass band culture over the last
fantastic.
2 years, and we hope to see you in Birmingham, and also hope to listen to more pieces that you've written for brass bands in the future.
Thank you.
Elaine Agnew's Little Christmas there, played by brass band Oberösterreich from Austria. Malcolm Wood, you sat in and listened to all the bands in this section. How did the bands cope with the test piece?
There were four varied and different performances, Anthony, with only the winning performance, playing from band number four, producing a real musical interpretation of Elaine's work.
And band number four were the eventual winners of this section, brass band Oberösterreich from Austria. Tell us a little bit more about their performance.
Their performance, in a word, was superb. They blew everybody away. Everybody in the audience really enjoyed their performance. Last year at Groningen, this band made a reputation for themselves with the performance of Hans Gansch. And this year, they absolutely blew everybody away. Their winning margin of 5 points was certainly not unjustified at all. They started off with a piece by Thomas Dost called Toccata Fantasia, and having performed Elaine's test piece, Little Christmas. Following this, soprano player Florian Klingler stepped forward to perform Philip Spark's Capriccio, and then moments later, Hans Gantz took centre stage with a breathtaking performance of Born on the 4th of July. Finally, they wrapped up their programme with a piece called Funky Brass, which was pure enjoyment from start to finish. It was just one of these pieces that you could tell the band really enjoyed playing, regardless of the fact it was in a competition itself. It was just pure musical enjoyment for them that they conveyed to the audience.
Now, in second place, we're Tórshavn Brass Band from the Faroe Islands, 5 points behind, as we mentioned, but lots to commend in their performance.
Yeah, they were second band on, and they had a varied program. I think the highlight of that was a piece by one of the composers in the box, Torstein Eigard Nielsen of Arctic Funk, which was very well performed. And they actually closed their program itself with two movements from Philip Spark's Hymn of the Highlands.
And in third place, Laggenvale Band from Northern Ireland.
Yes, the host nation's representatives, including two pieces by composer Peter Graham, adjudicator Torstein Eigard Nielsen, and their highlight was the soprano solo Gethsemane.
And finally, Arklow Shipping.
Arklow opened up with two test pieces. Firstly, Sparks, Land of the Long Light Cloud, and then Elaine Agnew's test piece. And this was followed by the highlights of their performance, their euphonium soloist performing Carrick Fergus. And finally, they rounded everything off with the Queen classic Bohemian Rhapsody.
John James, you were also in the hall listening to all the bands in the B section. You were also there last year in Groningen and waxed lyrical about the Austrian band's performance that time. Did they perform at the same level this year?
Oh yes, absolutely. They again made such an impact, it really was quite breathtaking. They received a standing ovation and deserved every ounce of praise that's been languished on them, and I certainly will be enthusing and taking away from Belfast on this occasion another abiding memory.
It seems the message kind of got out after last year that we were in for a bit of a fine performance from the Austrians.
Yes, you could really feel an anticipation in the concert hall, and word certainly did get out. There were far more people in the concert hall for that performance by the Austrian band than at any time in Groningen last year.
Overall then, how did this year's competition rate compared to last year's?
I think the bands chose to play music to entertain as well as to test, and the contest really did fit a quite challenging test piece into a programme content that became an integral part rather than a test piece standing out on its own. So a very, very interesting contest and some very entertaining performances.
And Malcolm, the highlight of the B section for you?
Hans Gantsch's performance of Born on the 4th of July. It's certainly something to look out for on the forthcoming CD and DVD releases later in the year by Dion Recordings and World of Brass. It's sensational. It really was sensational stuff.
Overall then, Ewan, the good, the bad and the ugly of Belfast 2006.
Well, it's been an excellent European. The good, Belfast is a great city, great people. The organisation of the event was excellent. Good music. It was a surprise result, but I don't think that's really a bad thing for the contest as a whole. On the bad side of things, on a personal basis for us, we must mention the Belfast Visitor and Convention Bureau, who totally messed up our hotel arrangements. But in typical 4BR style, we ended up smelling roses by staying in. They put us in one of the top hotels in Belfast for the remainder of the weekend, which was last week. U2 stayed at as well, so we're in good company at that at the present time. And the ugly, again, the suit possibly that was worn by Ike Anger's percussion, famous percussion player, who looks like the chap from Little Britain. You can see a picture of that on the Four Bars Rest website and make up your own opinion. Well, I haven't got a clue what he was thinking about when he was wearing it. He couldn't have worn it as a bet. I'm quite sure of that. Also, the other thing, but in celebration, was the Villabrook players, who we understand shaved their heads in celebration at their historic win. But overall, we've had a fantastic time. Congratulations to everybody involved here. Birmingham in 2007 has got a hard act to follow.
Well, that's about all we've got time for this time. Our next podcast will be after the 2006 Spring Festival, coming from Blackpool's Winter Gardens in 2 weeks' time. My thanks to Ewan Fox, Malcolm Wood and John James, to Dorian Recordings, composers Elaine Agnew, Ian Wilson and Kenneth Downey for the music extracts, and of course to the Fairy Band and Phil Lawrence for the podcast theme. So from me, Anthony Banwell, thanks for listening and goodbye.